Good evening. It's certainly good to see everyone this evening. Let me encourage you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Certainly appreciate what Brother Sam mentioned in his prayer about the privilege of being able to study God's Word. And that's the privilege that we have tonight, to be able to open God's Word and to allow God to communicate to us through His divine revelation. I'm truly convinced that if we're going to have a healthy relationship with God, if we're going to draw near to God, and if God is going to draw near to us, the language of James 4, verses 7 through 8, there has to be good communication. We're to communicate to God through our mediator, Jesus Christ, as we have done tonight in prayer. And now for a few minutes, we want to allow God to communicate to us through His divine revelation, realizing and understanding that God's Word will build us up as God's spiritual people. As you know, we're going through the book of Mark on Sunday nights. We're not doing a verse-by-verse study. And so this study requires some participation on your part. I want to encourage you to continue to be reading the book of Mark. I hope you've had time to read Mark chapter 5 tonight, because what we're doing is going through the book of Mark a chapter a night, and we're highlighting the main sections so that you can see those main sections. We're just mentioning those sections, but then we're looking at some of the application. The application to me is so important, because it really encourages us to be doers of the Word and not simply hearers. If God's Word is going to help us, we have to make the application. We have to be doers of God's Word. You know, as I was thinking about chapter 5 tonight, a lot of times when I approach a study of God's Word, whether I'm looking at a particular book or a particular chapter, I always like trying to see the main picture or maybe the main point. That's why I truly believe in chapter points. When I study God's Word, I always try to come up with some chapter points to help me study through the chapters that I'm looking at. Well, you know, tonight as I was thinking about Mark chapter 5, there are really several things that come to mind. First, as I think about my Lord Jesus Christ, I see here in Mark chapter 5 that He was the busy and compassionate Savior. You're going to see that as you go through chapter 5. Jesus was very busy. In Luke 2 verse 49, we learn that He was about the Father's business. But then there was another thought that kept coming up as I worked my way through Mark 5, and that is this. We shouldn't be afraid of Jesus. And I want you to think about that as we develop some of these thoughts, some of these points from Mark chapter 5. Again, we shouldn't be afraid of Jesus. And we'll make some application as we begin to study Mark chapter 5. But I guess as you begin looking at Mark chapter 5, this is really an unusual situation. Mark 5, 1 through 20, we see a man with an unclean spirit. And I'm sure most of us in here are very familiar with Mark chapter 5. You remember Jesus is going to heal this man with an unclean spirit. And you remember he cast those spirits into the swine, and the swine ran off the cliff and were killed. When the people of the city that took care of the swine heard that, I want you to see at the end of verse 15, they saw this man who had an unclean spirit in his right mind, and they heard how Jesus healed him and what happened to the swine. And it says this at the end of verse number 15. They were afraid. They were afraid of Jesus. Now notice with me verse number 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. In essence, they told Jesus, leave us alone. Why? Because they were afraid. As I stop and think about that, we shouldn't be afraid of Jesus. Because Jesus wants to help us. Jesus wants to save us. We see His compassion and His love for mankind being demonstrated in His teaching, but also by His works, His good deeds. In Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse number 28, what we call the great invitation, where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus invites us. Jesus welcomes us. Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid. You know, there was a time when Peter was learning about Jesus in Luke chapter 15, verse number 10. Peter says, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And he was afraid to come to Jesus. And Jesus, in that situation, encourages Peter to come to Him. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, Luke 19, verse number 10. And so when I think about the townspeople, if you please, from Mark chapter 5, I see that they were afraid of Jesus, and we shouldn't be afraid of Jesus. We shouldn't be afraid to come and learn more about Him. We shouldn't be afraid to yoke ourselves. In fact, that's the language that Jesus uses there in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come and take my yoke upon you. What is He talking about? Take my yoke upon you. Well, when you look at what Jesus is saying, Jesus is encouraging all of us to yoke ourselves with His teaching and follow me. And so we shouldn't be afraid to come to Jesus and to learn of Jesus, to learn His Word and to allow His Word to abide in us. Jesus said in John 8, verse number 31, He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. If, notice that, it's conditional. If you continue in my word, we shouldn't be afraid to continue in His word, to learn His word. We shouldn't be afraid to be more like Jesus. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse number 21, that Jesus has given us an example that we should follow His steps, His example. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, the Apostle John says, He that abideth in Him ought to walk even as He walked. We should strive to be more like Jesus, knowing that Jesus cares for us. He loves us. And when I stop and think about His care and His love for me, it encourages me to want to come and to learn and to yoke myself with His teaching, to learn more about Him and to be more like Him. Don't be afraid of Jesus. Well, as you continue to look at this story with me, the man that was healed wasn't afraid of Jesus. And to me, I love this part of this story beginning at verse number 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might, listen to it, be with him. Again, the man that was now in his right mind, he wasn't afraid of Jesus. He realized how Jesus changed his life, and listen to it, he wanted to be with Him. If we understand the spiritual application of all of this, we can see how Jesus Christ has changed our lives. If I'm a Christian, Jesus has changed my life. He's changed your life. And when I recognize that divine truth, I'm a new person in Christ Jesus that makes all of the difference in the world. I'm going to want to be with Jesus. Not only in this life, but as we talked about this morning, in life to come. And that's the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, to be with our Lord forever. And so we shouldn't be afraid of Jesus. We need to be like this man here that recognized how Jesus had changed his life and he wanted to be with him. But it doesn't stop there. Look at verse number 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and he began to publish in Decapolis. Decapolis is known as a league of 10 cities. He began to publish that good news in Decapolis. How great things Jesus has done for him, and all men did marvel. Again, I believe the lesson is pretty straightforward. It's pretty clear, isn't it? If we recognize what Christ has done for us, we're going to share that good news. I think about this man, and I encourage you to really go back and read the first part of this story. This man who had this unclean spirit, he was miserable. He lived in the tombs. And when I stop and think about how miserable his life is, to me, it gives me a pretty good picture of what it's like when people live in sin, when people live in darkness. But Jesus can change all of that. Jesus brings us out of darkness into to the marvelous light, according to Colossians 1, verse number 13. And when I experience that conversion in Christ Jesus, it's going to change who I am. In fact, I can know that I've been truly converted. I can know that I truly appreciate what Jesus has done, because I'll be just like this man. That's how I will respond to the good news of salvation. That's how I will respond to the one who loved me and gave himself for me, as the Apostle Paul would declare, speaking of Jesus in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. I'm going to go and I'm going to spread that good news not only to my family, not only to my friends, but I'm going to share that good news with a lost and dying world. Because I'm going to want them to experience what I have experienced. Remember John 10, verse number 10. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. The good life is in Jesus Christ. And people need to know about that good life. They need to hear about that good life. And they need to see it by the way you live your life and by what comes out of your mouth. This story should encourage all of us to talk to people about Jesus and the change that can take place in their life. But as I said, as you read Mark chapter 5, in this chapter, Jesus is very busy, because we read about a man by the name of Jairus. In the book of Mark, as I said, it's packed with action. It's a very quick book, and that's our approach in our study. We're moving right through this, but we read about Jairus's daughter beginning at verse number 22. One of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he says in verse 23, and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." Do you see what Jairus is doing in verse number 23? Jairus is pouring out his heart to Jesus. "My little daughter is about to die. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live." Obviously, Jairus had been hearing about what Jesus Christ can do. Obviously, he's been hearing about the power that Jesus had and how Jesus could heal people of their diseases. And so we see that Jairus, he is going to seek Jesus, and he's going to pour out his heart. Verse 24, Jesus went with him and followed him. But as they're making their way, we read about another incident. And we read about a woman who has an issue of blood. And she has spent all of her resources trying to find a cure for her sickness. You remember the multitude of the people? When she learns about Jesus, you see her active faith. In fact, Jesus is going to commend her for her faith in verse number 34. He says, "Your faith hath made thee whole." But she seeks Jesus, and as Jesus is making his way through the crowd, you remember she reaches out and she touches Jesus, and she's healed of her sickness. And the Lord is very aware of the situation. And so he asked the disciples, "Who touched me?" And you remember how the disciples responded to all this. "Lord, there are people all around you. Naturally, you're going to be bumping into people." But again, the Lord is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows exactly what is going to happen. And so verse 32, he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and listened to it. Told him the truth. Do you know what this woman is doing? She's coming and giving the glory to God. She realizes that her life has changed. She has been healed. And so she comes and she lays this before the Lord's feet. The Lord knows this, but she's the one that's giving the Lord the glory. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now as we think about this great story, about the woman who had an issue of blood, as I mentioned, Jesus commends her for her faith. But what stands out about her faith is that she has an active faith. And you know, so many people misunderstand what biblical faith is. So many people think that faith is simply just accepting Jesus into your heart. You know, in Galatians 5 verse 6, we're to have a faith that works by love. There's a reason why I mentioned that particular passage, a faith that works. Again, people misunderstand faith. People misunderstand works. The Bible talks about meritorious works, works of law, works of merit. But the Bible also talks about works of righteousness. In Acts 10, verse number 35, Peter finally understood what the Lord was teaching him, and he said these words, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but he that worketh righteousness is accepted with God, is welcomed by God. In Philippians 2, verse 12, Paul says we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We're not trying to earn our salvation. When we work out our salvation, we are simply wanting to obey the Lord, to have that kind of faith that we see in this woman who trusted in Jesus. But you see that she had an active faith. But I guess probably the best context that really talks about what we're talking about, faith and works, is found in James chapter 2, 14 through 26, where James says, faith without works is dead. And when I think about works, I always in my mind circle that, and James is talking about works of righteousness. Another synonym would be obedience. Hebrews 5, verse number 9. Jesus Christ became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Listen, the Lord's Word isn't going to contradict itself. There's beautiful harmony in God's Word. When we talk about faith, when we talk about believing in Jesus, we're talking about obeying Jesus. But we have to have the type of faith that this woman has that was willing to seek Jesus. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, we learn without faith it is impossible to please God. Listen to it. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Like this woman. And listen, Jesus can make a difference in your life. As we go through these different miracles, Jesus is demonstrating His power over disease. And we see Jesus throughout all of this as the great physician. In Matthew 9, verse 12, Jesus said that they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Spiritually speaking, we are sick because of sin, and we have to turn to Jesus, the great physician, the one who can heal the soul's diseases, but we must be willing to seek Him. That's the kind of faith that we need to have in our life. Well, while all of this was happening, Jesus was making His way to Jairus' house. And as they're making their way, when you look at Luke's account, we see that Jairus received word that his daughter had passed away. And Jairus was encouraged not to trouble Jesus any further. Well, as you look at Mark's account, as soon, and I want you to see this, verse number 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, as soon as Jairus received the bad news, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. You know, when we receive bad news, we need to always remember this verse. Anytime we receive bad news, we can always find a source of good news when we turn to God, when we trust in God. Because this word is filled with good news. News that will comfort our souls, news that will comfort our hearts. Remember what we see in Psalm 46, verse number 1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help when we're in trouble. And so next time we find ourselves in trouble like Jairus here, remember, God is our strength. God is our refuge. And what we have with God is a source of encouragement. And I love what Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus healed, raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Now, as we come to the end of chapter 5, I really want you to see the progression here. Jesus has been demonstrating His power over demons. He's demonstrated His power over disease. He demonstrated His power over nature. Even the winds and the sea obey His voice. He demonstrated His power over sin. But here, Jesus is demonstrating His power over death. We see that physically speaking, how Jesus raised her from the dead. But do you see the spiritual application? Because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross, you and I can overcome death. Spiritual death. As you stop and think about death, and even physical death, there is a connection. In Romans 5 verse 12, for by one man sin entered into the world, and you remember death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. People have often talked about Romans 5 verse 5. Is Paul talking about spiritual death, or is he talking about physical death? When I look at it, I think he's talking about both. Both were a result of sin's entrance into this world. You go back and read Genesis chapter 3. You see sin's entrance into the world. And then you read Genesis chapter 5. And because of sin's entrance into the world, mankind began to die. And you and I, if time continues on, it's appointed unto us to die. All of us are waiting that appointment. Hebrews 9 verse number 27. We have probably experienced it in some way or in some fashion. We've all had loved ones. We've all had friends who have passed on from this life. We know that life is very short. We know that we're only here for a short time. Job put it like this in Job 16 verse 22. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. But through Christ, death is something that we can overcome. We can overcome, as Job put it, the king of terrors. Remember, death is no friend. The Bible views death in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24 and following, as a foe, not a friend. As a foe, death entered the world because of sin. And so I believe Paul is talking about physical death, but I think he's also talking about spiritual death. And people experience spiritual death because of sin. But Jesus Christ can deliver us from death. And I want to leave you with a beautiful verse found in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, notice with me verse number 24. This is the hope that we can have in Christ Jesus. And there are so many other passages like John 11 verse 25. But I want to leave you with John 5 verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, listen to the last part, but is passed from death unto life. You see, when we come to Jesus, when we learn of Jesus, when we obey Jesus, when we unite ourselves together with Jesus, by the way, Paul teaches us how to do that in Galatians 3, verse number 27, when we're baptized, we put on Christ. We can overcome death. Jesus made it clear in John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Even though if time continues on, we will pass away, physically speaking, but our spirit, our soul will continue to live. And if we obey Jesus in the here and now, Jesus wants us to know what we can expect, what we can have in Him in eternity. That's why all of us need to learn more about Jesus and to understand His power and to understand that Jesus can help us as we go through this life. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you learning more about your Lord? Are you striving to allow His Word to dwell in you? Are you following His Word? Are you following His example? Do you realize the difference that Jesus can make in your life? All you have to do is read Mark chapter 5, and you can see the difference that Jesus can make in your life. Let's allow Jesus to make a difference in our lives, because He can and He will, if we will allow Him to come into our lives to have that relationship. You remember the picture we see in Revelation 3? The Lord is standing, knocking on the door of our heart, wanting to gain that entrance. I hope we will let Him in. I hope we will let Jesus make a difference in our life. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, spiritually speaking, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.